these things of encouragement to us, and we're so thankful. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, and we'll finish the chapter this morning, Lord willing. As we continue this series in 2 Peter about the different warnings that Peter gives, he warns about the forgetful flesh, and we looked at that last night, but we're going to look at the warning of the followers of fables. The followers of fables. And let's look there with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we see the Bible reads here in verse 16. Let's just read verse 15. We'll just read verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. As we recall from yesterday, he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And he goes on and he says in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease. Look, so after he's passed and gone to heaven, to have these things always in remembrance. And he confirms or he clarifies why he desires to always, that the brethren would always have these things in remembrance. He says that in verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He makes this point where, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Let's just pray and we'll start. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for all that has been, all that you've blessed us with at camp. And just thank you for your protection and for your grace. We just thank you for the help to preach these messages, Lord. And we just look to you for a refreshing of your spirit now, that you would just help us to put aside the distractions, the cares, or even just the different events the next few days, but help us to focus these few moments around your word. And I pray, Lord, that there would be great liberty and that your spirit would be present, moving in all of our hearts. We pray that you'd instruct us and teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. What are cunningly devised fables? Well, cunningly devised fables, a fable is a myth, right? It's like a tale. And cunningly devised is like a clever but false argument, one used deliberately to deceive. And we're living in a day where people are actually, there are so many fables around, is there not? And the thing is, for us as Christians, we as God's people need to remember two things: to reject the cunningly devised fables, that's the first point, and secondly, to take heed to the sure word of God. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Now, can I just share this with you before we begin? You can find, just make up any doctrine, any belief, and you can jump online, and I can guarantee you, you will find resources and people who would share the same view as you. And I can guarantee you that people would come with from a biblical perspective, and they would make a clear argument from the scriptures, using passages of scriptures, and many Christians have started to kind of listen to these things and be influenced by these cunningly devised fables. That's what the Bible teaches. And so we as God's people need to be discerning. Now, we're not to say, you know, you can listen to something online and you could agree with everything they say, but then when you go back to the Word of God and rethink it again and again and just like just look through it from the Word of God, you realize, oh, there's something wrong with that. And so we as God's people, especially in a day like today, if we are going to contend for the faith, we need to be equipped with the Word of God and we need to be discerning. Okay, because there's so much out there. And with the lockdown during COVID, many people have come across different teachers online, and as a result, they've been carried away by these fables, which really ultimately lead to their destruction. And do you know why it leads to their destruction? Satan takes it and he affects their usefulness for the Lord. It distracts them. And so we as God's people need to be warned of the followers of these fables and these ones that teach these fables. Now, look with me there in verse number... Is there an echo?
Yeah. No, it's fine.
It's fine? Yeah. There, look with me there in verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And here Peter refers to his teaching about, you know, when we made and we taught you about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus. I believe that he's teaching about the second coming of Christ there. But he says we made known unto you his majesty. And look what we see here in verse number 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now Peter was referring to Christ when he was transfigured. Remember that? When he took the inner circle with him and they saw Jesus in all his glory. Now it's interesting that Jesus knew who Peter knew who Christ was before that, but God gave him a little taste of the glory of Christ at his second coming, and because he goes on in chapter 3 and he touches on the coming day of judgment and how Jesus will come again and how we as Christians ought to live, and Lord willing, we'll cover that I think on Sunday evening. But what we see here is that he's saying we did not follow these cunningly devised fables. What we followed was the facts. God revealed himself to us. We understood who he was. And as a result, we understand who God is. And we are not making all of this thing up. And you received it. And this is why he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And so he's saying that we have a more sure word of prophecy. So you know what he's comparing? These false, these fables, these cunningly devised fables with the more sure word of God. And this is where we as God's people in a day as today, if we're going to contend, we need to be discerning. We need to understand the word of God. And we need to understand how to correctly interpret the word of God. You must understand that most of these people that come up with these tales or these myths, you know what they are? They're people who mishandle the word of God. Mishandle it. And many, especially a generation, have actually kind of been pulled by it. And what we see here is that when we're ministering to people in the church, you know what? People come with all funny ideas. And this is why we need to be on guard. Because what happens if you have a visitor who is just, you know, maybe they're a believer, but they've been, their head's been in YouTube and they've been following this false teacher and they've just been fed all these myths and they come into the church. How are you going to counteract that? And what happens if they come alongside you and you're a weak Christian and you don't know your sword as well and they say, you know, I'll just send you a link. You know, with the phones today, it's really bad. Send you a link, and they send you a link, and then the link is, you just watch the next video, and the next video, and the next video, and all of a sudden you believe in everything that you're hearing. And can I just encourage you, if ever somebody comes into the church like that, you go speak to the leaders of the church, because they need to be aware of it. Because you know what the thing is, if someone's so adamant about what they believe, and it's wrong, and they're not willing to kind of move on it, it's better that they're not in the church. Because you need to keep the church pure in doctrine and also in practice. And so we as God's people need to be very, very discerning. You know, all of these different things like the flat earth and all the rest of it. And you know, the problem is it's just, and people are convinced about it. And they've taken you to the Bible and they tell you this is where the passages are regarding this. And you know what the thing is, it's They make very nice videos. The presentation is very good. If it was some dodgy video, like a little PowerPoint thingy, and you wouldn't think. But these are really like high-tech videos, and they entice you in these ways. And all of a sudden, you're starting to believe these cunningly devised fables. It's interesting how Peter, at the end of his life, warns the brethren about this. But it's interesting how Paul as well, go to 2 Timothy. It's interesting how in Timothy, in 1 and 2 Timothy, look at this. If you go with me to 1 Timothy, we'll look first at 1 Timothy, and then we'll look at 2 Timothy after we've looked at a few verses in this book. The thing is, they'll come up to you and they'll talk to you and they'll say, what's the big deal? We're all saved. You know, I believe the same gospel that you believe, but what's the big deal? You know what the big deal is? That these cunningly devised fables, they're actually used of God to completely distract you from running the race for Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That's why it's a big deal. Because, you know, the thing is, if you're so zealous about the same gospel that we actually share, then why aren't you going and proclaiming that gospel rather than keep your head in YouTube and trying to spread your gospel or your false teaching around? There's kind of an imbalance here. So when someone comes up to you and says, you know, what's the big deal about doctrine? You know, we believe in Jesus and we have the same gospel. What's the big deal? You know what the big deal is? It's because you want to push your false teaching on me anyway. That's the big deal. You're zealous. You're not willing to bend on your doctrine. So why do you want me to bend on my doctrine? I didn't get it. And so there's this kind of, that's the deceit of Satan. And if you turn around and say, I'll bend on my doctrine if you bend on yours, like, but they won't, and we won't. And then it's funny that they'll call us, you know, oh, you guys are so proud. But the thing is, the truth is that we as God's people, we can stand on God's word confidently, and it doesn't matter. If they want to throw all these passages at me, I'm just saying, I'm not moving. This is what the scriptures teach. Thank you very much. And it's better that I don't know you. And this is where it's harsh. You know, we had a family who really, they loved the Lord, but they got involved in all of these myths. And they were a dear family to us. They have two beautiful children, and they were part of the church, and they were getting involved in everything. And all of a sudden, they wanted to go ahead and believe on all of these different things. And then now they're judging us for saying, oh, you guys aren't loving. No, but I don't want you, my wife hanging out with your wife. I'm sorry. But we won't talk about that. We'll talk about Jesus. But that's a lie, because the first thing that you'll talk about is that. And the thing is, I'm still getting videos from them. And so how can I trust the fact that you've just said to me that you're not going to talk about it when you keep pushing it when we haven't even spoken for months? Do you get it? They're very, very, very pushy with their doctrine. And they say, oh, what's... They come up to you and say, you're not loving. And so they play that card. And please do not be deceived by that card. Because once you're deceived by that card and you try to... You know what they'll do? They'll suck all your energy, all your time from you, and you'll be distracted. Your mind won't be sober. And then you're not going to be vigilant. And then the devil could come in. And in 1 Timothy, he says this in 1 verse 4. Let's go to verse 3. As I besought thee, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And so he says, make sure that you charge them that they teach no other doctrine. But then he goes and he actually expands that thought. And he says this, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than God the edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he was exhorted as a man of God to make sure that they go and nobody's teaching, that they've got their doctrine right. But there's other things. And these other things that he needed to correct is take heed to fables. And they do. They just, you know, they, what does he say? He says they just minister questions. And this is what you do. You have a discussion after discussion after discussion after discussion. And what's the point, really? Be careful of these cunningly devised fables. And so this is where we see in our day that if we are going to contend for the faith, we have to draw a line when it comes to these things. And so we have to work out where we stand on it. If we hear it, we suss it out. We make a clear decision in our mind that this is what the Bible teaches rather than what they're saying. And I draw a line. And I say, that's where I'm going to stand. Because this is where we as where our devil, the Satan, is trying to distract us. And this is one thing, one area that he's using. Okay, now look with me there in verse number, chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 6, look at this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, see how Paul was encouraging Timothy? Put the brethren in remembrance. Continue to remind them of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. It is a good minister of Jesus Christ who continuously reminds you of where you need to be as a Christian. So don't get there, sit there in church and say, I know this. Well, it's good that you know it, but you need to be reminded of it. And it's good that you know it, and it's good that he's preaching it, but maybe God wants you to hear it a second time because you're not applying it. Do you get it? And then he's going to want you to apply it in a couple of days' time when you won't be, so then God will bring that message to mind. This is why we need to always be alert when it comes to the Word of God. And then what we see here is nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Doctrine is so important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we as God's people have said we're supposed to go and preach the gospel and we're supposed to teach all things whatsoever he's commanded. So it's important. Paul preached the whole counsel of God, did he not? He didn't pick and choose. That's what all of the Bible says. And this is what the false teachers do. They take bits of the Bible, create a massive doctrine around it, and then they actually just look at us and say, well, how did you come to that interpretation? You need to be careful of that. You know, the thing is, that's your interpretation, and that's my interpretation, and that's we can come to that. That no, the Bible, there should be one interpretation, but many applications. Is that correct? And so we can use the Word of God, we can actually not mishandle it, and we can compare Scripture with Scripture, and we actually allow the clearer passages to interpret the less clearer passages, and we can come to solid doctrine according to the Word of God, and we can stand there. And so this is where young people study your Bible, older people study the Bible, new Christians study your Bible. You know the Bereans. What happened to the Bereans? They were more what?
Noble.
Than those of who? What did they do? Daily. Because when Paul was speaking to them, he was saying, they were serious students of the word, and they said, you know what? Is what Paul's saying is right? But then you have the Athenians, you know, the ones in Athens, which, you know, they just wanted to hear some new thing, new doctrine. It's a huge difference between these people who want to receive the word and the attitude around it. And then we see in verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so he's saying refuse these things. Okay, go with me to 2 Timothy, please, in chapter 4. And so this was an issue, and these men of God, both Peter and Paul, were actually warning of these things, and they were telling the people, just be careful. Why? Because they had the philosophies of the Greek, they had the traditions of the Jews, and they knew that in these, meshed in each other, are the other teachings that will influence these brethren. Now in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judged the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming. He exhorts Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He tells him to rebuke and to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And he tells him why. He says, Timothy, you stand on the word of God. Don't move. Because he goes on and he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what it is, what that means? They're going to pile up a massive amount of teachers that are going to actually tickle their ears and give them what they want to hear. That's what Brian Houston says. We're just itching people, tickling people where they want to be tickled. That's what he says. He said that. Because he's just giving people what they want. And people are heaping to themselves. Like there's heaps of teachers now, false teachers, which we're going to cover, Lord willing, tomorrow. But the thing is this, is that all of these ones that have believe in these fables, they've actually heaped to themselves teachers. They have heaps of them. There's a lot. There's a pile of them. They never end in supply of them. And he says there, in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what?
Fables.
Be careful of those cunningly devised fables. Please, 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 please store this away. Because I can guarantee you, every single one of us, if we're really serious for the Lord, we're going to be confronted with a fable in the next year. If we're really on fire for the Lord and you knock on the door, they open the door, they want to tell you about, hi, I'm from Northern Baptist Church. Here's a gospel tract. Can I just give you some information? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, we go on all of that. And the things that we hear from people is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Like, I just think, really? It does. It just gets to a point where, like, where do people come up with this? You know where they come up with it? They sit on the computer, they get sent a link, and they open it up, and they just kind of go on these trails. And then they want to tell you what's true. YouTube. And do you know how much junk is on YouTube? Junk. And they become the authority on it as well. Can I just let you know that? But you can't have the authority on the Word of God. That's not right. You can't stand on the Word of God and that can't be your authority. But we can be the authority on this myth, this tale. And so what we see here is the Bible clearly says, and these men of God, Peter and Paul, they were both really, I think they were seeing this, and by inspiration of God, God was giving them wisdom for us today because God knew where we're going to be in these perilous times. And yet to contend for the faith in such a day as today, we as God's people need to be very, very equipped. We need to be equipped and ready to actually just to come against these things as we're battling for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your children as well, please parents, be discerning on what your children are watching. You know, we take for granted that God created the heavens and the earth in six literal days. But you know, there are many believers, children that they grow up and then all of a sudden they're led away to believe that in theistic evolution, and then even go as far as rejecting the creation account and just believing in evolution. And so this is where discipleship must start in the home. You understand that? Do not depend on the church and the youth group. Don't be, and even, like, you know, just do not depend on those things. You train your children, and the youth group and the church and the Sunday school should echo what you've been teaching your children. Yes. And it's a blessing that you can bring your children to church that could echo that, you know, and reinforce it. That it's not just mummy and daddy. You know, Samuel just started reading, and he has these quiet times in the morning, and he's reading through the Bible. I've given him a KJV and he wanted one, so I just gave him one, and he wants to read it, and he sits there during his quiet time and he reads it, And he's going through Genesis. So he's starting at Genesis and he's reading through. And I was preaching a series on the first 11 chapters of Genesis at church. And he was getting there and he was like, oh, it's true. That's what the Bible says. Because he's thinking that daddy's been teaching this and mommy's been teaching it. But now he's seen the word of God with himself. And he said, Dad, it's true. What you were preaching the other day. And so you know the thing is this. He is understanding that what we're teaching him is what the Bible teaches. And so we as parents need to make sure we're educating our children. And the best thing to indoctrinate your children with is the Word of God. True? Just feed them with it. Because you know what sticks with them? The Word. They can go astray. They can. They have a free will. And they can choose to do that. But you know what would always come to mind is the Word of God. The Spirit of God will always bring the Word of God. Do you know why? Because the Word of God is a living Word. It has life. And so this is why we as parents need to really just feed our children with the Word of God. Live out the Christian life before them, but just continuously feed them. Because just think about the generation. If Jesus doesn't come again, which I hope, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. But if he doesn't come again in our generation, just imagine what our children are going to go through. And we as parents and we as a church need to equip these children to be prepared. We're going to raise a generation to be prepared. We have what we're experiencing in our day with all of these different things. Just imagine, if I don't know, I can't see the Lord not returning like very, very soon, okay? And but if he doesn't, just imagine what our children will be experiencing. And then we go on back to our text in 2 Peter. So we need to reject the cunningly devised fables. And Peter was saying to them that, no, we are not ones who teach this, okay? We have a sure word, and this is where we as God's people need to take heed to the sure word of God. And what we see here, he goes on and he says in verse 19, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed. So he's saying, you know what? What we've taught you is not fables. It's the word of God. And we have a more sure word, and it's beneficial for you that you take heed to the word that we're teaching you. Can I just encourage you, church? It's beneficial that you take heed to the word that you're being taught. And to take heed is not just to kind of, to sit in church and get it. But you know what it is? To take heed, it's to be alert. And to take it with you and to chew it over and to take the warnings as they are the warnings. And so this is where we as Christians need to not start to grow dull of hearing when it comes to the Word of God. Not be lazy or slothful. And I know, sorry, but after a few messages at camp and us not in our bed, I don't blame us, okay, because of our flesh. But at the same time, when we as God's people are hearing the Word of God, and when you go to church, be prepared to listen and to hear. Do not look at the preacher and say, here's Pastor Simeon again. No, I say that, like, no, I'm actually being serious. I'm not even like making a joke about it. Because you know what it is? We can look at the same person and we can go through, you know, the five hymns and the announcements and whatever we go through. And then Pastor Simeon gets up. And sometimes it becomes, for many Christians, a time to shut down. And praise be to God, it hasn't been here. You're a church that, praise God, that wants to receive the Word of God, and it's encouraging. But that doesn't mean, don't take that for granted, that doesn't mean that in a year's time that you, some of you, will just not be walking with God and you just don't want to hear anything that God, that pastor has to say and that God has to say. Don't take it for granted. Always, 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 as a Christian, prepare your heart before you come to church. And to receive it as in truth the word of God rather than the word of men. Because you know what? If you do that, can I just tell you this? that you will leave this place accountable to God, submitting your will to the Lord and saying, Lord, you've just spoken to me through your word. That's serious business, is it not? Let's be sober about this. This is not the cunningly devised fables, but this is the more sure word of prophecy which we have in our hands. And to be sure, that means it's steady, it's stable, it's secure, it's done. We have it in our hands. And we as God's people need to start getting serious about the word of God and not take it for granted. You know, we have so many Bibles in our house that we take it for granted. But you know how many saints of the Lord in the past that they were just feeding off one or two passages of Scripture because they couldn't get their hands on the complete Word of God? And how much did the Catholics or the Roman Church want to kind of stop the Word of God from spreading because they knew that it was the living Word? And how many of them got persecuted just to give us the Word that we have? Be thankful for it. And here Peter is saying to them that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that ye take heed. And look what how he describes it. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And so here he's saying, you know what? It's like a light. You know, men do not like the light. What does it say? They like darkness rather than light. Because when the light shines, this what happens? It reveals things. A room looks very nice and clean if you've got the dim lights. You turn it on, and I do cleaning in the mornings, right? And I go to work and I do my cleaning, and it's dark. But since daylight saving, it's starting to get lighter earlier, right? And so before we changed our clocks, we have daylight saving in New South Wales. I don't know what you do here, okay? And before they changed the clocks, it started to get really light in the morning. And I started to see the corners and the dust in that room. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. I'm glad that I didn't get a complaint. Because I was mopping, I was doing everything, but I hadn't been there when it was light. And I saw some marks on the window that there wasn't marks before. That I couldn't see in the dark. And you know what it is? That's like the Word of God. It turns on the light. And so, you know, this is why people get offended with the Word. Do you know why? Because it's actually revealing your sinful heart and my sinful heart. It's actually pointing the finger at me and saying, hey, this is something that you need to deal with. And the Word of God is a blessing because, you know, God uses the Spirit of God. And you know what? Both of them together will kind of just convict you to a point where you need to respond. And if you don't respond, then the chastening hand of the Lord will come. And so this is what God's plan was. It's like a light. And that's why in Psalm 119, verse 105, you don't have to turn there, but thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. And this is where God intended to give us his word. You know what? The two-edged sword. Go with me to Hebrews. I'll just show you that. As we heard last night in that special item. Was that last night that you did that special item on the word of God? That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12, we'll read together after 2. Hebrews 4, verse 12. 1, 2. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's powerful. It's like that two-edged sword, and you know what does? It pierces deep. You know what a blessing it is? If I submit to the Word of God, I'm allowing it to just do its work that it needs to do in my heart and in my life. And you know what it protects me from? You know, the Word of God is our standard. And you know what I've told what I continuously tell our church family, if you stick in the boundaries of the Word of God, you'll be safe. But as soon as you step out of it, You're going to open yourself up to so many things. And so many people grow up in Christian homes and they say, oh, there's too many things that I need to do. Be thankful for the way that God's told you to live.
Amen.
And protecting you from all of those evils. He's saying just stay in the boundaries. Stay in the boundary of the Word of God. Why would you step out? Are you going to step out? Yes, I know the flesh, the world, the devil desires for you to step out. But you know, at the same time, God is saying, stay in my boundary, in my safe zone. And as He gives us that, we understand that we could be profitable and fruitful the way that God planned. And so this is why the Word of God is of utmost importance. And sometimes you get sick of hearing that because it's so familiar to us. But you know what? We don't cherish this as we ought to. We just kind of just, you know, have a little bit of this and a little bit of that and sit under the Word and just go through the motions of the Christian life, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, well, what did we learn? That's why, you know, doing Bible college or doing like the discipleship program is so good. Because what happens is it gets you into the Word of God. And it instructs you and teaches you. And you know, when you do these programs, it's not just a head thing. It should be a heart thing. So what you're doing, you're getting the Word of God and then you're applying it. And as you're applying this Word of God, the doctrine should impact your practice. The Word of God should influence you to move. And so this is why the Word of God is the most amazing book ever. It's because it's His Word. It's God's Word. But at the same time, it has this, it kind of affects you in different ways. And so it's a living word. It kind of changes you from within and makes you live a way which is pleasing to Him. And it goes hand in hand with His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God to us and comforts, uses passages to comfort us, and also uses passages to convict us. And so they go hand in hand. It is a spiritual book, and it's a spiritual work that He's trying to do in our lives. Now what we see here is that He uses this description, and then we see this wonderful passage of Scripture in regards to the inspiration of the Bible and how we actually receive the Word of God. And he says this there in 2 Timothy, if we go back to our passage, in 2 Timothy, in verse 20, he says this regarding the Word, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And so if we understand what private interpretation is, one's own interpretation. Now in the context, he's speaking about how we receive the Word, because the next verse he explains and he clarifies what he says, what he's meaning. He says this, for the prophecy came, in verse 21 of 2 Peter, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, if this passage makes total sense when you compare it to the cunningly devised fables. These cunningly devised fables, you know what, they were man-made. But he's saying that the Word of God that we have, the prophecy that has been revealed to us, has not been revealed to us by our own imagination. It hasn't been revealed to us by anyone, but he's saying this is how it was inspired to us. The holy men of God, and it was holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is how we received the Word of God. And it's an amazing passage, because what we see here is that he's doing a wonderful comparison. Like he just kind of draws the clear distinction, if I could say, between these fables which came from man and the Word of God which came from God. And we as Christians need to understand that. And so what we need to learn from this is that God has given us His Word to instruct us in the way that we as God's people want to live. And as the disciples, the apostles said in the old times, that we're not following these fables. We have the true, the sure Word of God in your hand, in our hands. Now can I just, if you leave this camp, please, 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 I keep saying, please, please, please. This is my, I think, my saying this week. Please, 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 please. I usually have, like, you know, when I'm preaching a series of something, I just say the same thing. And says, please, 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 please. Anyway, but it is. I'm just trying to get my point across, okay? We're contending here. Please, 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 please. Exactly. If I just say that, I continue on, I get my thought. Please, 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 please. What we need to understand is that God has given us His Word. And if you're going to leave this place, what you need to be, and you want to contend, be convinced in your mind and in your heart that what you hold is the Word of God. Okay? Because if I am convinced about that and I approach it with that attitude every single time I hear it and I go to it, then when these fables come along and these tales and all these myths, I will be able to stand. I'm not going to move. You know what? When we take lightly the Word of God, when we take it lightly and we don't see it for what it is, these people come along and they use Scripture and they carry us away. We're led astray by them. And you know, generally the thing is, and as I said, as when we first began this whole sermon, is that they're convincing. They are.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what we're coming up against today is these convincing arguments that you know, presented with the Scriptures, and we as Christ, as God's people, need to learn and equip ourselves on how to stand. You know what it is? We as God's people have the weapons of our warfare. What is that weapon that we fight with? What is it? The Word of God. Exactly. That's our sword. And if a soldier cannot handle his sword right, what good is a sword to him? Let's use the physical picture of it. What good is a sword to you if you can't handle it right? And if you're not, if you're going to go in a battle and you've got a sword, you need to make sure that you know, when David, he says to King Saul, says to David, here, take my armor, take my sword, and it just didn't work for him. And he knew how to use those stones and that sling, true? Because why? He equipped himself with it. He trained with it. And this is for us as Christians. We must take the sword. We must know it. We must equip ourselves with it. We must be trained in it. And you know what? The most important part about it all is we must live it. You know, and this is where I began the series. There's a great disconnect. You can know your sword, but not live your sword. There's no point in knowing it. Can I just say that? I know that's a crazy statement. But if you're not going to purpose in your heart to know your Word of God, the Word of God, and live it, what's the point? Head knowledge. You deceive yourself. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, right? And so they go hand in hand. Like a soldier, for example, he knows his sword. He cleans it, he polishes it, he knows how it feels and everything. But when it's kind of time to use it, kind of time to live out the battle and fight, what good is his sword to him if he hasn't practiced, if he hasn't trained? Same with us as Christians. Do we get the point? So we have two people that we see, group of people. These ones that follow cunningly devised fables. And these people who take heed to the more sure Word of God and they live it out. And can I just encourage you with this thought before we finish, is that we as God's people need to pray. Prayer is so important. You know, when you put on the whole arm of God and then the last thing is pray that God will give you the grace to hear God's Word and to do God's Word. You know, prayer is such a powerful thing, and we as God's people do not pray enough in regards to this point. Because we take for granted, we might pray for the preacher that he'll have boldness and power to preach the word, and we might pray for the Spirit of God to work. But how about we pray, Lord, allow the word of God to do a work in my heart and help me to apply your word. Yeah, it's amazing the kind of help that God gives you. You know, when Pastor Samuel asked me to preach this camp, and the Lord was telling me that he wants me to preach through Peter, and I'm thinking, oh, really? How many sermons am I going to get, you know? And you know what the Lord was doing? He was stretching me. And he was saying to me, you can do this with my help. Because I feel so inadequate sometimes in like doing any of this. But you know what it is? We can draw from God's help and God's grace. And it's amazing how many times God has come through. Look, Lord, I feel so, you know, sometimes I don't want to go door knocking. And you know, my flesh is saying all our excuses. And I've got my wife saying, you can go. Just take a raincoat, you know. This is my wife. She's a blessing. She's like, go, go, go. But you know what it is? Good to have that. But at the same time, I have to pray, Lord, help me. And I don't know how many times you do this, but you're walking up a dry, like a path, and you just start to feel a little bit nervous.
Never.
Wow, look at these spiritual pastors at the back.
Always.
I know. Don't you feel a little bit like, ooh. And then you're just like, Lord, please help me and strengthen me and give me the grace that I need and give me just boldness to stand against. It's just a normal thing, is it not? But you know what we're doing? We're actually acknowledging God and we're saying, Lord, help me. And do you know when it comes to the Word of God, what you need to ask for? Help. Help to listen, help to apply. And you know what the Lord, the Spirit of God does? He strengthens us and He takes the Word, He applies it to our hearts personally, and He gives us the grace that we need to apply it. And that's what it is. We as God's people are such a blessed people to have the Word of God in our hands. You know, I have a man in our church who doesn't know how to read. He's illiterate. He can't read. He can't write. He can only, like, if he uses a phone and he can count and all the rest of it. But he uses a phone and he knows that if he's going to call, like, Jason, it's Jay, and, you know, he'll go down. And he knows how to use a phone now, like, because it's just from how this. But he doesn't know how to read. You know how much we take that for granted? And this man, he got an audio Bible. And it was in his language, which made it even better. And he just saturated himself with the Word of God. We're so blessed. And you know what the Word of God did for him? It just transforms his life. And we're living in a day, listen, and this is my point, I'm going to finish on this. We're living in a day where we have an abundance of resources. But our study of the Word is so like this deep. And us understanding the sword, the weapon that we're going to fight with, is really very shallow. And so this is my encouragement to us as we leave camp. Purpose in your heart to get into the Word, to study it, to be equipped, and to use it, and to apply it to your lives, and to live it out. And so in that whole time that God will be able to use you, you know, for you to be contending for the faith, you need to know the book. You need to know your sword. Let's pray.